Okay, good morning to everyone. It's good to see each of you. I'm glad that we can meet together on this last Sunday of 2020, December the 27th in the year 2020, the last Sunday of the year. And it is a blessing to meet together in the name of Jesus, to sit at his feet and to study his word. If we have any new persons with us this morning, my name is Sister Velma Jean Sanders, the teacher of the Contemporary Bible Class at Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska. And I am glad that you are with us. If you're not new and you're regular members, I'm glad to see you, regular classmates. I'm glad to see you as well. Today we will be continuing in our study from Luke chapter 11. Continuing with verses 1 through 4. I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. That's the version that I'll be using today and almost every Sunday. On this last Sunday of the year, for those who have been in the Contemporary Bible Class for any length of time, I like to, on the last Sunday of the year, recognize if there were any deaths, anyone who passed on that was a fellow classmate of ours. In this year, now we still have a few days left in this year. This year is not over, and a lot can happen in the remaining days. But because this is our last Sunday of the year, I do want to recognize we did have one of our fellow classmates who passed this year, Brother Austin Adams. He's the son of Deacon Brayman and Sister Elaine Adams. So Brother Austin Adams was one of our classmates, and he passed this year, and we want to remember him and still continue to keep the family in prayer.
Amen.
Also, I know that there are others in this class, and I cannot stop to name all the others. I would miss someone. But you are members of this class and you had close relatives who passed this year. We remember them in prayer. We remember you in prayer as well. So let's go to our Father in prayer. We'll also be praying for Sister Gloria Phillips, that Sister Cheryl Thornton let us know that she is in the hospital with COVID. So we want to keep her in prayer as well as others. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in the name of Jesus on this last Sunday of the year. We give you praise and glory as we did on this first Sunday of the year. We praise you that you are Alpha and Omega. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. We give you glory, Lord God, the Almighty One. We thank you for waking us up this morning and for starting us on our way. We thank you that you not only woke us up, but you got us up. We thank you for the activity of our limbs. We thank you as well that we were clothed and in our right mind. We thank you for a mind to serve you. We thank you as well for a heart that wants to keep your will. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the knowledge to know that we need you. We need your son, Jesus. We need the word of God. We need the spirit of God. And we need one another. And so with that in mind, we too say, Our Father who art in heaven, we hallow your great name. We ask you now to be our teacher. I yield myself to you as an instrument and ask you to teach your word through us. I cannot do this work without you because it is your word. It is not my word. This is the word of the Lord. And so I ask you, Spirit of the living God, to teach through me. We remember Sister Gloria Phipps in prayer, Father, in the hospital. And we pray, Lord God, that you would first of all draw her closer to you and glorify your name for whatever the reason that she's in the hospital now. We know through COVID, Lord, but we pray first that you will be glorified in all things. And then we ask you, Lord God, may Sister Gloria lift up her eyes unto the hills from whence cometh her help and her healing. And may she know that her help comes from the Lord. We ask you to encourage her. And then we pray for healing and for restoration, not only for herself, but all others that we may know, Lord God, that have been affected by this terrible virus, Father. We remember the Adams family, Raymond and Elaine and their son Austin, who was part of this class. We continue to keep them in prayer, as well as fellow classmates who had loved ones to pass and may still be grieving. And so, Lord God, we pray for one another. And now, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, lead and guide and bless this class, and we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So I see others have joined us, and no doubt some will more will be coming. Today we'll be continuing in Luke chapter 11. And on this coming week's Zoom invitation, I may include a few statistics from what we have covered this year. It won't be much, but I do want to mention a few things. So I'll probably have that on this coming week's Zoom invitation. Well, let's go and study here. Let's first of all start out by reading our passage, Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, and we will be reading verses 1 through 4. It reads, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us.'" Trying to turn my page. "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So that is the word that we will be studying from this morning. And we say amen to the word of the Lord. Well, first of all, you all know I like to review. We need to review because we need to keep hearing it over and over again. And some we still trying to, others are still joining the class. So it gives us time to just come together on level ground. Our first level ground is the name of Jesus. That's the ground and the name that we gather in. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we first of all, when the curtain goes up on this chapter, the immediate scene is we see Jesus in prayer. And Jesus, because there's a lot you can say about the Lord Jesus, but one thing we learn about him from the gospel according to Luke is that Jesus was a man of prayer. And so Jesus is praying to his God, and Jesus is praying to his Father. The disciples are around. They hear Jesus praying. They observe him praying, and they've seen him do that before. However, this is the first time, if not the only time in Scripture, that we see the disciples asking Jesus to teach them. I do not believe there's any other time in Scripture, and I would have to read, and you would have to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to see if that's true. But as far as I can recall, this is the one and only time that one of the disciples actually asked Jesus to teach them. And so here one disciple said, "Lord, teach us to pray. And so this is the disciple's request. And the one disciple, on behalf of all the disciples, said, "Teach us to pray." Well, we are part of that us. We are Jesus's disciples. We are glad for that disciple who asked the Lord to teach us to pray, because he not only swept in the other 11 disciples, it sweeps us in as well. We need to be taught to pray even now, whatever stage we are in our walk with the Lord. We still can grow in prayer. We still can be taught how to pray, even from this, what we call the Lord's Prayer. And so the disciple asked Jesus to teach us to pray. The Lord immediately in verse 2 begins to teach them. he responds and he tells them exactly what to pray. And he says, when you pray, say. There is a difference between just saying something and praying something. So we want to pray, not just say. So when you pray, say. And one thing with the Lord's Prayer, most of us know the Lord's Prayer from heart in our generation and at our age. As I said on last week, we are growing up, youth are growing up in a day now where the Lord's Prayer is not heard as often. And so it is the responsibility of parents and grandparents, even great-grandparents, and perhaps great-greats, to teach your children the Lord's Prayer, to teach them about their need for Jesus Christ, to teach them about repentance and baptism. That falls primarily upon the parents. If the parents aren't doing it, somebody step in, grandparents or great-grandparents, and teach the youth. We have heard this prayer from a child. I grew up hearing it. I learned it as a child. However, because of learning it as a child, we can, because we know it, we can more say it than pray it. So we want to be sure when we do say this prayer and quote it, we're not just quoting it. We are actually praying it. And so here in verses 2-4, Jesus teaches them what to pray. He gives them the exact words. We call this the Lord's Prayer, but really it is the disciples' prayer that the Lord taught his disciples. However, it's okay to call it the Lord's Prayer. This prayer is a simple prayer, but it is a deep prayer. The words in it, they are simple, we could say, on one hand, but on the other hand, all of these words are deep and all of these words are profound. There is no measuring rule that can measure any one of these words. This prayer is comprehensive. It includes all of all things. It is a very comprehensive prayer for all times. It is what we would say is a perfect prayer. I would use that word. It's a perfect prayer. First of all, because Jesus gave the prayer. And so it is a perfect prayer. Also, because it sweeps in all true prayer in one way or another, comes up under something that is in the Lord's Prayer. Every prayer we pray in some kind of way, if it's truly a prayer, in some kind of way, it comes up under something that is included in Luke chapter 11, verses 2-4, the Lord's Prayer. It is a special prayer. It is a precious prayer. It is to be esteemed highly because Jesus gave us this prayer. Jesus told us a lot of times different things we need to pray for, but here's the one and only time that I know of that Jesus gave us the exact words to pray. And so as I said on last week, if there's anything we need to be praying on a regular basis and on a frequent basis, it is the Lord's Prayer. I know that there are some, even in our class, who pray this prayer regularly. Those who are members of Church of the Living God, I know that you all pray this prayer often, frequently, regularly. It is part of what you do. Others, we do not, as certain denominations, for whatever the reason, do not pray it publicly as an assembly as regularly as perhaps we should. That does not let us off the hook. We individually should be praying this prayer frequently and regularly. Jesus said, when you pray, say. Well, he gave us the exact words. And so I say Jesus gave us the exact words. So we should pray it exactly like he gave it. We cannot be smarter than the Lord. We are not smarter than him. However, having said that, pray it as he gave it to us to pray. But it also is a framework. It also is a model. It also is a pattern. We can use this prayer, quote, use this prayer and pattern our prayers after it. Now, most of us, when we pray, most everyone, when you listen to people pray, most everyone will get around to saying, Father, very soon. Usually people open their prayers with Father. They may say Father God or Our Father, however they say it. Well, that is a pattern. That's from the pattern of Jesus told us, when we pray, say Our Father. And then as they continue on in prayer, including me and you as well, our prayers, even though we may not be using these exact words, our prayers will come up under this one prayer. I encouraged each one of you to pray the Lord's Prayer this past week. I hope that you were consciously aware that you needed to pray the prayer and that you did pray it at least one time this past week. Now, I asked you to pray it at least one time in the past week. I asked you on the basis of Jesus told us to pray it, but I also asked you because it is something that we need to do. I asked you to pray it at least one time this week, and I was being very liberal with that, but pray it frequently, and I'll leave that up to you and your God and the Spirit of God, but it should be prayed frequently. This is a short prayer. It is not a long prayer, but that does not mean that it is not comprehensive. It is a short prayer that can be committed to memory and should be committed to memory. So we want to esteem this prayer and value this prayer highly because Jesus gave it to us to pray. And when we pray, we want God to hear us. Who wants to pray and God not hear us? That is the basis of prayer. That is why we pray, is we want God to hear us. And so we want to approach him the way that he has told us to approach him, and he has given us various ways how to approach him. He tells us in Psalm 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise. And so God gives us various ways of how to approach him. There's even the tabernacle back in the Old Testament when God gave Moses the pattern of the tabernacle, how to approach God. Well, you come through sacrifice, through the blood of Jesus. That's the brazen altar. But there was the laver, and that was the place of washing and of cleansing. And so there must be a confession of sin if you are really praying to God. There must be a washing. There must be a cleansing, a recognition of sin. Even as believers, along the way, our feet get dusty, meaning walking in this world. And we can become spotted with sin in different ways, commit sins. And so we need to be washed. We need to be cleansed. And even that is found in the Lord's Prayer. I also said on last week, we studied that this prayer is recorded twice in the scripture. It is recorded in Matthew chapter 6, as well as in Luke chapter 11. And we looked at it's very similar in Matthew and Luke. We compared it and we also contrasted it. We saw it's very similar in the words. Matthew ends his prayer with, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And usually when we pray it publicly, now I don't know about Catholics. I think the Catholics, and I'm not sure, leave off, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. At least when I was studying for a little season with a group of Catholics, they did not say that last verse. But I say it because God, for thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever. Amen. I don't want to leave that off. That is a doxology of praise unto God. Even though it may not have been in earlier manuscripts, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so that's how Matthew ended his prayer. Luke is writing from a different perspective, and he did not include that. But God is still worthy of that. We want to grow in our prayers. We want to mature in our prayers. We want to become more perfect. Grow on unto perfection. Let us go on unto perfection. That is also in Matthew, I believe, in the Sermon on the Mount. Let us go on unto perfection. I believe. I'm not sure about that. But we want to grow and mature in our prayers. So here we are in Luke chapter 11. And so Jesus says in verse 2, so he said to them, when you pray. Now he said, when you pray. So that is what? That is making the assumption that we do pray. And if you are a believer, if you're truly born again, just as it is when we're first born, we take that breath. When one is first born again and you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, and that confession, when a confession is made with the mouth, there's that breath that comes out. Even as I'm talking now, there's the word, you hear the word, but there's also the spirit. There's the spirit that comes out with the word. And I put my hand to my mouth because you can feel the breath coming out, the spirit coming out, the word coming out. Well, when a person is first born again, and that confession with the mouth is so important. Don't take that lightly, because Jesus said, confess, the Bible tells us, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. And with that confession comes out that breath, that confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, that confession. And so the breath that comes out, we receive within us the Spirit of God. That Spirit of God, he is the spirit of intercession. And any person that is really born again, the Spirit of God is the spirit of intercession as well as the spirit of supplication. And I believe that's in the book of Zechariah. I believe that's in Zechariah. The spirit of supplication, the spirit of intercession. And so we want to pray. A believer does pray. May not pray as often as we should. That could be. Or maybe we do pray as often as we should, but a believer prays. That's one sign of being born again. And so Jesus says, when you pray, the first thing that he tells us, you say is, our Father in heaven. Now, this prayer is made of short, succinct phrases. First of all, there is our Father in heaven. Well, you can spend a week of Sundays, a month of Sundays, a year of Sundays talking about each one of these clauses. Our Father in heaven. That cannot be exhausted. Neither can hallowed be your name. That cannot be exhausted. Thy kingdom come. You could talk about that forever and never exhaust it. Thy will be done. Same is true of that as well on earth as it is in heaven. I say that to say there is no way that Sister Velma is going to be able to cover even the little bit God has revealed to me. There's not time enough to say it because we are in Luke, but we could, meaning we're going to go through the entire book of Luke. But I want you to realize we could spend a long time on each one of these clauses in this prayer. Not gonna do that. So I'm just going to be touching the surface. It's up to you on your own to pray, Lord, open this up to me. Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, I ask your spirit, show me what all this means. Lead me and guide me. I will do what I feel God would have me to do, but you on your own, Lord, teach me to pray. Spirit of God, open this up to me. So Jesus said, when you pray, the first thing is to say, our Father in heaven. Now, like I said on last week, each one of these words are weighty words, our, and then Father, and then in, and in heaven. Each one of those words are full of weight. Well, prayer, first of all, is directed to God. It is directed to God the Father. Prayer is directed to God the Father. And I know you'll hear, and I as well have said Jesus. And it's okay to call on the name of Jesus. I do it all the time. Call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, help me. I may say, Lord, help me. All throughout the day, I could be calling, talking to the communion with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's okay. But, quote, technically, and we we still, you know, it's a relationship. You build a relationship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Spirit. As we walk with God, you build a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But prayer, Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father. Well, let's start out with the little word, our, which is a big word. But just talking about our, we first of all see it is a communal prayer. This is a family prayer. Now, we can pray it individually. I pray it individually. You pray it individually. But when we pray it individually, we are praying our. Jesus said, when you, singular, but he was also talking to all the disciples, when you pray, say our. Sweep in the entire body of Christ. Sweep in the family of God. Now, you know, I've asked you, I encourage you every week. I may not have said it today, but I encourage you often to pray for each other in class. Sweep in everyone in this class. If you don't know their names, I don't know everyone in this class. I have not met everyone. I don't even know who else in the class. I see the number right now says 46 right now. I don't know who that 46 is. I know some of you, and others I do not know. But when I say, and when you say our, we sweep in everyone in this class. But it's not just everyone in this class. It is the entire body of Christ. This is a family communal prayer. We are not alone. We are not isolated. All the body of Christ needs every word of this prayer. And if you say, well, I don't know what to pray for the class. Well, this is a good passage prayer right here to pray for the class, but to pray for all believers. We are members one of another. We are members of the body of Christ. Once a person is born again, and that is so important because that's the only way you can say Father, is that you have been born again. And when you are born again, we are made individually a member. And that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Not a member of a local church. That is something. We're not talking about local churches right now. We are talking about the one true church, the body of Christ. And you become a member. You know, you look at your body. If you just look at your hand, how many members, right, are in this one hand? Well, this hand connected to my whole body. And if God forbid, if I were to lose this one hand, God forbid I lose my hand, but some have lost their hands. Some have lost their hand. This hand was meant to be with the arm. It was meant to be connected to the whole body. What would the hand look like praying just for itself? My hand is concerned about my whole body, from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot, inside and out. And so it is when we pray. It's not just a hand praying. It's not just Velma praying. Are you praying for yourself? And whatever you do, make sure you pray for yourself. You know, if anybody needs to pray for Velma, Velma needs to pray for Velma. And you need to pray for you. But we also want to grow in our prayer regularly, praying for the entire body of Christ. Now that sweeps in people all over the world. It sweeps in all, now we're talking about Christians here. We are talking about those who have been born again and those who truly have God as their Father. Now our faith, when someone asks you, what is your faith? Well, we say we are of the Christian faith. We are Christians. That is, you know, if you have to put on if you're filling out a questionnaire or you're applying for a job, and I don't think they're allowed to do that on applications. But if you ever have to be asked, if somebody's interviewing you, what is your faith? You say Christian. Now, up under the Christian faith, there's all kind of denominations. There's There's Baptists, there's Methodists, there's Episcopalians, there's Lutherans. Mm-hmm. That all of that is denominations. But we are all Christian. So that is your faith. You are a Christian. Versus what? Versus Buddhist, versus Hindu, versus Muslim, versus Scientology, versus Jehovah's Witnesses, a whole bunch of others. But we are Christians. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. He paid the price for sin. He is God. He is the Son of God. He is the only way to the Father. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. He lives forevermore and he will come again. We believe that. And so when we say our Father, regardless of the denomination, whether it's a Baptist, and no doubt we have other denominations in class, what is this morning, whether it's Baptist, Methodist, whatever, Protestant or even and Catholic, Protestant and Catholic, anybody who professes Jesus is their Christ, the Son of the living God, we sweep them in when we say our. Now, when you look at the family of God, let's look at this a minute, because this hour, as I told you, is a big word. Well, when we think about the different denominations and the different styles, if we just went through the different styles, S-T-Y-L-E-S, styles of worship, there are all kinds of styles of worship. Some are loud and boisterous in their worship. Some are physical in their worship. Others holler and scream in their worship. And then there's others that's so mellow and so quiet that you can hardly hear. That's the other group. I mean, there's all kind of folks all in the body of Christ. And then there's different styles of music. Different styles of worship, different styles. There's some who believe in all the spiritual gifts, including speaking in tongues and all of that within the body of Christ. And others believe the tongues have ceased. Some believe that the speaking in tongues still exists. Others believe they have ceased. But we all believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the way to the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. So whether you believe in speaking in tongues or not, we're not even talking about that. We are talking about our Father. And then there's the different baptisms. There's all kinds of ways people in the Christian faith are baptized. I'm a Baptist. Now, if there's one thing us Baptist folks know how to do, we know how to baptize. That's part of our name is Baptist. We got baptism down good. We know how to put you, stand you in the water, put you down, bury you, symbolically speaking, and bring you back up. We know how to baptize. But then there are others, they sprinkle. You know, there's sprinkling and other kinds of ways of baptism. There's different presentations of the word, how the word of God is preached and given. There are all kinds of differences. And we won't even talk about our social classifications. There's all kinds of races, tribes, kindreds, tongues, languages, economics, political affiliations, all these different variances in the body of Christ. What hooks us together? I mean, regardless of whatever your social classification may be, regardless of your style of worship, we all come through the blood of Jesus. We all come through the blood of Jesus, and the ground is level at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross, we are all the same. And so this word, our, is sweeping in all these Christians with all our differences and all our variances. We are all part of the body of Christ, Jesus being the head. Now, when you look at your physical body, you got all kind of members in that body. And then there are members in the body that we haven't even seen. You know, I've never seen my kidney. I've never seen my liver. You all haven't either. I've never seen my own heart. Not really. I haven't. You haven't either. But those members are vital. And so when we pray for ourselves, we include every part of us, crown of the head to the outsole of the foot, inside or outside, every part of the body. We want to do that in prayer. And then that does what? It makes us one. It makes us, it breaks down barriers. Just because you don't worship like I do does not mean God does not receive your prayer. It does not mean I'm better or I'm worse or least. It's just, it's differences in the body. And so Jesus said, our, sweep in all the saints, all the children of God, and together, collectively, we say, our Father. Now, Father is a big word. Father, God the Father, first person in the Godhead is God Father. Now, when you hear Father, you should immediately think of relationship. This is a relationship with one another. That's the hour. We are connected together. Together we come to Father. Father is relationship. Now, we are so used to saying Father God, Heavenly Father. However you approach God, we say Father. And we're so used to saying that, that we can lose the wonder of it all. And I said this several weeks ago. If it is Jesus who gave us the right and the privilege and the honor to call the Almighty God Father. Now, not everyone can call God Father. Now, I'm looking on my screen, and right now I can see several fathers, physical human fathers. I see Brother Chandler. I see Deacon Young. I see Deacon Ira Young from Arkansas. I'm just now seeing you. I hadn't seen you before. Glad you're with us this morning. I see Brother Joe Williams out here, and there may be others on page two. I'm not going to, well, maybe I should, so let me go look at real quick. There may be some other fathers out there and a whole bunch of names of people that I can't see. Okay, you all are fathers. Brother Deacon Ira Young, I don't know if you have children or not. Okay, he does. You all are fathers. Well, what would I look like of those names I call? Brother Chandler, Deacon Young again, and Brother Joe. If Sister Barbara Ingram, who I'm looking at right now, turned around and said, hey, Father Joe, how if she went to Joe right now, Brother Joe Williams, and Sister Barbara Ingram said, Brother Joe, she went to him like he was her father. Are any of these men, any of them, Brother Chandler, Deacon Young again, or Brother Joe Williams, if any of us called them Father, they would, I don't know how they would respond, but they would let us know, I am not your daddy. I am not your father. That's what they would say. But if their children came to them, now here's what I'm trying to bring out. Everyone cannot call God their father. You are father through birth. There must be a relationship through a birth or in the spiritual sense, also through adoption. We can call God Father because we have been born of the Spirit. That is part of the psalm, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And we say, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. And we become children of God. And now we have the right to say Father because we have been born into God by the Spirit, by the Spirit of God. And so just as ludicrous, as crazy as it would be to call Brother Chandler or Deacon Young and Deacon Young again or Brother Joe Williams my father, they will immediately let me know, oh no, you are not my father. I know who my children are. And so it is with God. He knows who his children are. And it is children who bear the image and who come up under Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. He is the capital S Son of God. And if we are going to be children of God, sons and daughters, the daughters are mentioned as well in one of those Corinthians, First or Second Corinthians talks about sons and daughters. If we're going to become children of God, sons and daughters of God, it has to come through the Son of God, Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. And if we are going to get into the family of God through birth and through adoption, it must come through Jesus the Son. But once a person repents of their sins, confesses, believes in their heart that Jesus is the Christ, truly born again, then they have a right to say, Father. As long as I live on this earth, and Sister Barbara Ingram, Sister Jewel Gay, Sister Cheryl Secret, and all of you all, we will never be able to call these men our father. At this point in our life, they are not adopting grown folks. I mean, they're not going to adopt us. don't think they are. They are not our dad and never will be our father. But now that's a beautiful thing about God. As God receives the old, God receives the young, God receives children, God receives elderly, anybody can be born again regardless of age. You can be born again. But we don't want to put off. Some folks are trying to wait till they get older before they die. Well, there's no guarantees we're going to make it to the next minute. There's no guarantees at all. And so the point I wanted to bring out is Father is relationship. It is a relationship with God through birth, and also through adoption. Well, let's look at several scriptures for that. Let's go to John. Let's look at John. Go to the Gospel of John, the next book over. John chapter 1. And there are many scriptures. But let's just look at a couple of scriptures. John chapter 1, verse 12. And I believe you all followed my analogy of these men out in our class. If we call them dad, that won't work. They would let us know, I am not your father. And so it is with God. Okay, John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12, John chapter 1, verse 11 says, he came to his own, talking about Jesus. Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many who received Jesus, placed faith in him, believed in him, as many as not only believe in him, but receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So you see in this verse, this is how you become a child of God. There is a believing on him, but there also is a receiving. There's a lot of people who say, oh, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus is God's Son. I believe. And a lot of children have grown up hearing that, so they would say, I believe it. Well, there's a difference between believing and receiving. And we have believed, and then we placed faith. We actually receive. We don't just believe it. We receive him. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Save me, Lord Jesus. We call upon him. And so there is a believing on him and a receiving of him. So we believe and we receive him. And it's through him, the Son of God, that Jesus gives the right. Now we can say our Father, because Jesus gives us the right to become children of God. You can't become God's child without coming through the Son of God. You need Jesus. He is the only way to the Father. Well, let's also go to the book of Galatians. Let's go on over to Galatians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. I think I got it right. Galatians chapter 4. Now, I quote the book so we can learn the books of the Bible and to help some of us find it. Galatians chapter 4. So Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Galatians 4, beginning at verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son. Now that's what we, the Christmas season, that's what it's all about. When it was the right, exact right moment, the right, exact right time, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son. God sent forth, God the Father sent forth his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Well, why did he send his son? Why did Jesus come? Well, that's a multifaceted answer, but here are some answers right here. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem, to deliver. That's what redeem means, to buy back, to buy out of the slave market of sin. That's what redeem means, to get out of one family and into another family. He paid a price for us. Verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The adoption as sons. So we are born into the family of God, but we are also adopted, because we come into this world born into Adam, with the Adamic nature, born having Satan as our father. And we have to be redeemed. We have to be bought out of that slave market of sin and the devil as our head and as our father. So Jesus, he redeems us. He paid the price that we might receive the adoption as sons. And that includes the daughters. But it's sons because we come up under Jesus, the Son. So all the daughters are sometimes called sons. That is okay, just so we're in the family of God. Verse 6, and because you are sons, here's the benefits. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. That happens at the new birth. When you believe on the Son, receive Jesus, then you have a right to be called the children of God. Well, verse 6 here in Galatians says, because you are sons, God has sent forth. See, God sent in verse 4, God sent the Son. In verse 6, God sent the Spirit. God, verse 4, God sent the Son to pay the price. In verse 6, because we believe on the Son, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. That's the Holy Spirit. Where is he going? Into our hearts. The Spirit of God is in us. And look at the evidence. Here comes that crying out. Here comes that breath. Here comes that prayer in spirit. You know, calling on the name of the Lord. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Here's the evidence, crying out, Abba, Father. And that Abba means daddy, papa. You know, now, Brother Chandler and Deacon Young and Young Again and Brother Joe, no doubt your children have some, they know your father, but they probably have some other names they called you too. They may call you papa, they may call you daddy, or they may call you another name. Well, here, that's how it is with us, Abba. Abba, daddy, he's our daddy. He's my daddy, father. And the Spirit of God in us makes that breath where we call on Jesus. Holy Ghost comes and we can say father. And now we are into the family of God. And we go back, verse 7. Verse 7 here says, Galatians 4:7. Therefore, on the basis of God sending his son, on the basis of redemption, on the basis of the Spirit in our hearts, on the basis of us crying out, Abba, Father, verse 7 says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Well, let's go back to Luke chapter 11. Now we have about 6 minutes. And we're still on our Father. Yes, we are, because that's where we are. And so, Father, God is our Father. Now God is our Father. God is God, but God is our Father through Jesus. And we do say Abba, Father. But I want to interject quickly here. The next phrase says, hallowed be your name. And so God is Father. He is Abba, Father. But we still what? Hallow him. We still hallow our Father. And we still hallow God. This is a holy relationship. But God is our Father. Now let's think about a father for a second. We had a lot of time. These fathers could talk. And probably some of these fathers may have some of their children in the class with us this morning. I'm not sure. But what is a father like? A father loves his children. And you all can think about this during the week. Because when you think of, now when I go to God and I'm praying to God, I'm praying to God as my Father. And when you approach God, you have to know he is God. You know, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, but we hallow his name. He is God, but he is our Father. And so we approach him as Father. Well, how does Father care for his children? He loves his children. Yes, he does. God loves me. I'm his child. God cares for us. He cares for his children. And you have to see all of this when you're praying, especially when you're going through hard times. But all the time, God is my Father. He loves me. He cares for me. He provides for me. That's what these men have done in our class. They love their children. And sometimes their children, they probably would say, have been done unlovely things. But they're their children. They are their children. And that's another thing I need to say. Once you are God's children, God's child, you are his child till death. These men out here, they can't disown their children. Now, some have tried to disown their not our men out here. Mm-hmm. But some fathers have tried to disown their children. You may try, but they're still your children. And God has never tried to disown us. Once we are truly his child, we are his child until the day of redemption, till we're home in glory. He never cuts off his children. As a father, he loves us. We have 3 minutes. He cares for us. He provides for us. Think of this year. This is the last Sunday of the year. Look at all the breaths. We can't even measure the amount of breaths that God has given us in a minute, much less a year. How many breaths has God provided? How many meals have we ate? How many steps have we taken? How many, you know, just thinking, going here and there, and every minute God was providing for us. He was protecting us, seeing about us, guiding us. And then, you know, God is our Father. He will chasten us if we don't act right. Reverend Watson would say, God will send you to that divine woodshed. Oh, yes, he will, because the Father will chastise his children. God is a wise God, and he leads us and he guides us in wisdom. He is a good God. God is a good God, and he is a good Father, but he is still to be hallowed. He is gracious and he is kind. How should we act as his children? We love him. We love the Lord our God. Yes, we do. And we want to love him more. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we want to grow in grace. We want to show our Father how much we appreciate him. Thank you, God, for making a way for me to become your child. In our last minute, and I need to close now, because we are in our last minute. I want you to read John chapter 8 this week, and you will see in John chapter 8 where another father is mentioned, and that's the devil. There are these two families that come forth on this earth, the family of God, and then there's the family that comes from Satan. We thank God for Jesus, who came that we might have a right to the tree of life and that we might be born again into the family of God. And Father, having said that, we come before you saying on this last Sunday of the year, We thank you and we praise you. We hallow your great name and we call you our Father and even Abba Father. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for calling us unto yourself. And now, Lord, we thank you for every class that we had this year. We thank you for every lesson you've taught us. And we ask you now to help us to not only be hearers of the word. You have fed us good, Lord God, in this year. Help us to be doers of the word. Even this week, may we pray and be more aware that we are part of the family. It's a beautiful family, the family of God. Now be with us in this week. Keep us in your care. And if it be thy will, may we meet again in the new year, 2021. But if it is not your will, may we meet together around the throne of God. We praise you and we give you glory in the name of Jesus, our great Savior. Amen.
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 Teaching, Sister Amen. Mama.
God bless you
all.
Amen.
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 Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Stay safe.
Hallelujah. That's why we say brother and sister.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. See you in the new year.
Yes.